Welcome to Hoosier Ag This Week, as the award-winning news team of Hoosier Ag Today brings you all of the top stories this past week impacting our farmers and Indiana's most important industry, agriculture. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. Coming up on today's show, a positive case of bird flu has been identified at a commercial turkey farm in East Central Indiana. Our Eric Pfeiffer chats with a state health official who talks about the measures being used to stop the spread of the virus. You'll also hear about a new survey from Purdue that asks farmers how they feel about the state of the economy following the election last November. And you'll hear from this year's newly crowned Indiana State Fair Queen, her name, Pilar Bravo. I had the chance to chat with Pilar as she shares what she's looking forward to the most when the Indiana State Fair returns later this summer. But first, you may not know that the Indiana State Department of Agriculture is led by the state's lieutenant governor. Well, beginning Monday, Indiana's new lieutenant governor will be Micah Beckwith. However, there's a bill that's been introduced in the Indiana Senate that would not only strengthen ISDA, but it would also remove the lieutenant governor from overseeing the department. First, Hoosier Ag Today spoke with State Senator Susan Glick, who co-authored Senate Bill 202 with State Senator James Buck.
I think there is a lack of understanding. People are seeing this as a power grab, taking it away. It is an elevation of the status of agriculture in the state of Indiana. That's all we're trying to do.
The bill would make ISDA an executive agency under the governor with its own secretary. Even though the bill specifically says the lieutenant governor would no longer serve as Secretary of Agriculture, Glick told Hoosier Ag Today that the bill has Beckwith's support.
We talked with the lieutenant governor prior to dropping the bill. Senator Buck and I worked on this bill. We've been approached by a number of ag groups, such as the Farm Bureau and others. It's been a part of the policy of the Farm Bureau for a number of years, legislative request to elevate the status of the Department of Agriculture.
But when Hoosier Ag Today spoke with Lieutenant Governor-elect Micah Beckwith about the bill, he says neither Glick nor Buck spoke with him about it before it was introduced.
It's a little bit of a nonsense bill. I think people have kind of pointed out that it might be a slight towards me because, again, I was the grassroots pick, and sometimes the establishment, quote unquote, doesn't like what the grassroots do sometimes. And so is it a little petty? Maybe. I don't want to read into the motives of the senators that brought that bill up.
Beckwith adds that removing the lieutenant governor from overseeing ISDA would not be good for Indiana's farmers.
I think they have the ear of the executive branch even more so this time around than they will ever have with the Department of Agriculture under the lieutenant governor's office, because not only will you have basically just the full attention of the lieutenant governor anytime farmers need help, you're going to have the ear of the executive branch. If you move that into what 202 is saying, you're basically going to lose agriculture into the minutiae of other agencies. The governor has 30 plus agencies that he's overseeing. He's got secretaries over that. You won't have the ear of the governor as much if you make this move.
So Hoosier Ag Today then told State Senator Glick the bill did not have the support of Lieutenant Governor-elect Beckwith.
He disagrees. Now, yes. Earlier today I was told that he said that he was in favor. So maybe that's changed, but he was not opposed to it earlier. So then we'll just have a discussion. That's what the legislature's for, and we'll be glad to sit down with him anytime. It's not an attack on anybody.
Beckwith says the bill is pretty much dead on arrival.
Yeah, Senator Bray was very, very kind. He talked to me about it. He said, hey, I just want to let you know this is coming down the pike. It's not going anywhere. He gave me his word it's not going anywhere. I don't think it has any traction.
You can hear much more from both Lieutenant Governor-elect Micah Beckwith and State Senator Susan Glick at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, Senate Bill 202 isn't the only bill that impacts Indiana agriculture. Eric Pfeiffer was at the State House for day number one of the 2025 legislative session of the Indiana General Assembly, where he talked with Andy Tower, Executive Director of Public Policy with Indiana Farm Bureau.
A lot to focus on for the General Assembly, but major priority issues for Indiana Farm Bureau, we know it, taxes and water.
Absolutely. Really, from a tax perspective, looking to those property taxes, getting some overall assurances for our members that can do some long-term planning, looking at that farmland formula, how we can fix that. On the water side, we want to make sure we've got some protections for agriculture, some additional groundwater monitoring, so we truly know what the resource is that we're protecting. Those are going to be our two key priorities during this General Assembly. One of the things we've really talked to our members and our team, there's so much going on this upcoming General Assembly. 14 new members of the legislature, new administration. We need to stay focused on those. And then as we get those into a good place, we'll start to look at some of the other issues that impact agriculture and start moving over and trying to make sure we shore up those. But again, water and taxes is going to be a main focus, especially here early on.
And I know that right now, you know, you're probably making appointments already for members to get here to the State House.
Absolutely. That is such a key to Indiana Farm Bureau's success, to get our members to the State House. We are great today. We had about 150 of our members here for an educational session, and we had lunch with about 75 of the legislators here at the Indiana Roof Ballroom. So that member engagement, that grassroots engagement, is so critical to the success we have statewide.
We'll have more from the Indiana Farm Bureau legislative session in the coming days here on Hoosier Ag Today.
Thank you, Eric. As we hand the Hoosier Ag Today microphone off to Andy Eubank, he's here now with Hoosier Ag Today's Farm Market Review. USDA's monthly reports had a significant impact on the grain markets Friday, Andy.
And that was a nice bull run by the corn and bean markets, CJ. Thanks. We will have all those final numbers from the trading session coming up. First, what happened from USDA? I checked in for answers with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian, would you go so far as to say that we saw some fireworks in the marketplace after a very strong move in soybeans? Corn pretty solid as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andy. Yeah, that's a good word to use there. I think that we really were shocked by the reduction in the crop size. The USDA told us today they took 3.8 bushels per acre off the national average yield for corn compared to the last survey-based number in November, and they took a bushel off the soybean yield. So really some surprising, I believe they cut the Indiana yield by 11 bushels, the corn yield, from what it was there in November, and some of the other states were down quite a bit. Just a shocker from the supply standpoint, and really takes that Indy stocks number now for 24-25. Not exceptionally tight. I don't want to paint that picture that we're running out of corn, but much tighter than what the market had been anticipating, and significantly tighter than what we were looking at the beginning of the harvest. So all those factors combined together, Andy, giving us a pretty good rally here.
Brian Basting with the market analysis. Brian is an economist with Advanced Trading, and his number is 309-664-2314. Now more numbers for you. The positive numbers in the corn and bean markets after USDA's report. First, March corn, a gain of 14.5 cents Friday, 470.5. May, 479.5, up 15 cents. March bean contract goes to 10.25 and a quarter, a gain of 26 and a quarter. May up 27 and a quarter, 10.38. March wheat, 5.30 and 3 quarters, down 3 and a quarter. Solid in the protein sector. February live cattle, 198.77, up $1.17. And February lean hogs, 82.55, up 77. And that's a look at the markets on the weekend show. Much more still to come. I'm Andy Eubank. Who's your Ag this week?
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
The ability to affect the future of food, to be able to affect the future for producers, give us a peek into the future. What's Corteva plus Pairwise in this era of AI? What does it look like?
What we've been working on with Corteva for our strength in our genomic knowledge, the germplasm, the ability to test and validate in the field, feed that information back into discovery and design, taking tools like AI to accelerate and overlay that, and then that ability of Pairwise to come with a set of really great tools and talent and ideation partner behind that. I think there's going to be some great things coming out of that JV. So I'm pretty excited to see.
Get more episodes online at agrinovisindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cold air is the focal point of our forecast over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with a look at your Hoosier Ag Today weekend weather outlook. Here's what's going on across the nation and what's impacting Hoosier weather. We had a little system move through yesterday. You might have been aware, winding up before sunrise came this morning. Give a little bit of snow, and so that's a nice little blanket over the region, but we're not going to add to it much at all over the next 2 weeks entirely. Today, we turn out partly sunny as clouds try and give way to sunshine, especially through the afternoon. Do not look for that to last, but I think it's going to be a nice feature. Temperatures chilly, but not brutally cold. We've got a clipper system coming out of the northern plains and upper Midwest tomorrow, trying to set up over the Great Lakes, over northern Michigan, honestly, as we move through the overnight tomorrow night into Monday morning. That is key, not because of the precipitation it has. I think we have to allow for a few flurries tomorrow afternoon, evening, into early Monday. But really what this system is doing is drawing down another round of Arctic air. North flow really ramps up and goes west through the day on Monday, such that lake effect is going to be an issue in Michigan for Monday afternoon and most of Tuesday. We may see some of that in northern tier counties of Indiana as well, but not for much of the state. But temperatures are going to be well below normal. Big blast of Arctic air for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. High pressure sits over us during that time frame, so I think we see some sunshine, maybe a lot of sunshine, depending on the day. But it's going to be a great day to travel and be inside at the Fort Wayne Farm Show. Now we get to Thursday. Temperatures not quite as cold. As a matter of fact, we should see some good temperature moderation Thursday night through Friday, above normal temperatures for a brief period of time. That's going to make things a little sloppy as we deal with some snow melt. But rest assured, cold air is coming right back. Significant frontal boundary tries to streak across the deep south, Tennessee Valley, down points south into the Gulf. At this point, I'm keeping moisture out of the Hoosier State, taking it out of southern Indiana. But the cold air comes in very quickly with that front dragging it in. And so Sunday is much colder, the 19th, and then we are brutally cold for the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. We see temperatures the coldest that they will have been all year. Below zero for maybe a full 24-hour period or more. And we've also got some snow that wants to come through on the 20th itself. Minor accumulations, but the cold air is definitely issue number one for all of next week. I do think that we see temperature moderation. If we zoom out and take a look at the longer-term picture, I think we see some temperature moderation as we move into February. The cold air may just be a January feature en masse. We won't be done with cold air completely, but I think we're definitely getting back to normal and above normal conditions through a large part of the month of February. Stay tuned. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
MicroEssentials S10 from the Mosaic Company delivers uniform nutrient distribution. Every single granule contains nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur. MicroEssentials has superior nutrient distribution when compared to MAP or DAP blends. This means your crop does not have to search for those nutrients, improving nutrient uptake. Choose a superior phosphorus fertilizer with MicroEssentials. Contact your local ag retailer to learn more.
Thank you again for joining us here on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and if you follow Hoosier Ag Today on Facebook, X, LinkedIn, or even if you went to HoosierAgToday.com last Saturday, you likely saw the unwelcome news that we were among the first to share. Eric Pfeiffer joins us with more.
Highly pathogenic avian influenza is back in Indiana.
That's Denise Dare-Spears, Public Information Director with the Indiana State Board of Animal Health.
Friday afternoon, we had test results that came back that we found the virus in a commercial turkey flock in Jay County.
Since that discovery late Friday, the flock of over 20,000 turkeys has been depopulated. A 10-kilometer control area and a 20-kilometer surveillance zone that includes portions of Jay and Adams counties have been established around the affected farm.
We will be requiring permits for any poultry or poultry product movements in or out of that area. Then there's companies up there, they're producing eggs that need to ship to make it to grocery stores. Before they can move, there has to be a negative test that happens for the flock to make sure that they won't be moving any virus. And so we've got testing that's happening on a daily basis for the farms up there, because a lot of those operations, they've got daily shipments and they have to keep in business.
BOA is reaching out to other flock owners in that area to offer testing. It is important to note that avian influenza does not present a food safety risk. Hobby poultry owners are encouraged to be aware of the signs of avian influenza and report illness or death to the USDA Healthy Birds Hotline.
Main things to look for are sudden death without clinical signs, lack of appetite or energy in the birds, decreased egg production, soft or misshapen eggs, swelling or purple discoloration of the head, eyelids, comb, the hocks, and nasal discharge, including coughing and sneezing.
The number to the Healthy Birds Hotline is 866-536-7593. You can find that number along with my full interview with Denise Darer Spears at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Well, speaking of the Indiana State Board of Animal Health, the board last week voted unanimously to appoint Kyle Shipman as the new state veterinarian. He had been serving as interim state veterinarian after Dr. Brett Marsh, who served in that role for more than 30 years, was hired last fall as dean of Purdue University's College of Veterinary Medicine. Governor Eric Holcomb says he plans to hold off on approving Shipman's appointment and offer that approval to Governor-elect Mike Braun, who will be sworn in as Indiana's next governor on Monday. Also this past week, a big announcement from Keystone Cooperative.
We're proud to announce today that we're going to pay back $68 million in total patronage to our farmers that own us and do business with us.
And that's Kevin Still, CEO of Keystone Cooperative, which is based in Indianapolis.
We are actually returning 100% of our profits derived from our membership business. So out of the $68 million, we'll pay $56 million in cash. So the other $12 million will become equity that they own in the co-op for future redemption. We like to say that's a cooperative advantage. We like to say that's giving back to Main Street, not Wall Street.
How soon will Keystone Cooperative's farmer members be receiving their patronage?
The patronage will be put in the mail around January 20th. If they do attend one of our annual meeting or update meetings, we can hand deliver it then. The equity redemption will happen after February 1st.
Keystone Cooperative began operations on March 1st of last year, after a merger between CoAlliance and Ceres Solutions. Still says the merger has improved service for their farmer members.
The key to the merger was to bring the best of both co-ops together, and in doing so, enhance our talent, utilize our size and scale to leverage purchasing power. So there's just things like that bringing the two co-ops together, we've been able to enhance the return for our farmers.
You can hear our full conversation at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, this month's Purdue Ag Economy Barometer tells us a lot about how farmers feel about last November's election. Eric Pfeiffer joins us once again with more.
CJ, they do this survey each month of 400 U.S. ag producers, and some of these questions they started asking just prior to the election and then again after. And here's one of them. Will environmental regulations impacting agriculture be more restrictive, less restrictive, or about the same 5 years from now?
And the results in November, December compared to October are quite striking.
That's Jim Mintert, principal investigator of the survey, now professor emeritus at Purdue after his recent retirement.
61% of the people in the survey said they look for those environmental regulations affecting agriculture to be less restrictive.
In a similar way, producers were asked before and after the election about income taxes and whether they thought they'd be higher, lower, or about the same 5 years from now.
In October, only 8% said they expect to see lower income tax rates. In both November and December, that was up to 36%.
And Mintert says it was a similar story for estate tax rates, leading him to conclude that farmers' attitudes about the future are improved because they expect to see a different regulatory and tax environment. One question they began to ask after the election.
How likely do you think U.S. agriculture is at risk of a trade war that results in a significant decrease in U.S. ag exports?
And quite a few producers believe we are.
48% of producers in December said they think a trade war is either likely or very likely. That's up a little bit, up from 42% who felt that way in November.
And the final question?
Do you think that the fall 2024 election outcome will lead to a farm safety net that is stronger than, weaker than, or about the same as before the election? And 55% said they expect to see a stronger safety net.
You can hear more from Mintert and Michael Langemeyer, the new director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, in the Purdue Commercial AgCast. It breaks down the Ag Economy Barometer, a survey of 400 ag producers across the U.S. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
A potential strike has been averted among union workers along the East and Gulf Coasts after the union and shippers agreed to a tentative agreement for a new labor contract. You can read the full story at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. Well, coming up, you'll meet Pilar Bravo, the newly crowned Miss Indiana State Fair 2025. She's a graduate from Perry Meridian High School, a student at Marion University in Indianapolis, and you might be surprised to hear what Pilar's all-time favorite food item is at the Indiana State Fair. You'll hear all that and much more straight ahead, so don't you dare go anywhere. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Attention farmers. A big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
We have what you want, when you want it, where you want it. At Hoosier Ag Today, we have up-to-the-minute markets, weather, and farm news ready for you 24/7. You can find it on your local radio station, the Hoosier Ag Today website, and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, as well as your favorite social media channel. All because we want to give you what you want, when you want it, where you want it. Hoosier Ag Today. Tune in or log on.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. And even though it's cold right now, we're many months away from the Indiana State Fair, which runs this year, August 1st through the 17th. And joining us here today on Hoosier Ag Today is the newly crowned Miss Indiana State Fair 2025, Pilar Bravo. She was Miss Marion County 2024, and she was just crowned this last weekend, Sunday, at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. Pilar, thank you so much for joining us here today on Hoosier Ag Today. My first question to you is, you were among 84 contestants, and when it got down to the top 16, the top 10, and then they announce your name as this year's State Fair Queen, what went through your mind, Pilar, when they announced your name as this year's winner?
Well, first off, I want to thank you for having me on here. But honestly, it was a surreal feeling. I couldn't have imagined it to be any better. They called me as top 16, and I was like, oh, my goodness, here we go. Now I got to go get my speech done. Then they announced top 10, and I was like, oh, Lord, there comes that word. And then they announced, you know, they started going through and announcing all the girls, and we got down to the first runner up, and then they started, then they announced me as queen, and whoo, it just took me by surprise. I couldn't believe it. I'm just really, really excited for this opportunity, and I can't believe it. I'm still stunned.
Pilar Bravo joins us here today on Hoosier Ag Today, and I failed to mention that you're a proud graduate of Perry Meridian on the south side of Indy. You're a Falcon, and now you're a Marion University Knight, is that right?
Yes, yes, yes.
You're going to have not just a very busy semester, because you just started the spring semester at Marion University in Indianapolis, but you're also going to have a very busy summer as well, because the Indiana State Fair Queen, you play a very important role in promoting the Indiana State Fair. We're talking about 6,500 miles you'll be traveling during the months of June and July to more than 40 different county fairs to promote the upcoming Indiana State Fair. How does it feel to be on the road and have this, basically have this full-time job this summer as Indiana State Fair Queen?
Honestly, I'm overly excited about it. I'm so excited to see, you know, different areas of Indiana and get to know people and really just embrace the entire experience.
Pilar Bravo joins us here on Hoosier Ag Today, Miss Indiana State Fair 2025. You have a lot of road experience because you have a passion for quarter horses. Tell me a little bit about that passion, Pilar.
It was something that I grew up into, and it's something that I had a passion for growing up. And it kind of took a journey of its own when I started going out and doing more shows than what my mom would. And we started, you know, building our horses a little bit. We ended up having 6 horses at one point. It was kind of crazy there for a minute, but I will definitely say it's something that shaped me into the person that I am today.
How many horses do you have at this point in time, Pilar?
I have 2 horses. We've narrowed it down a little bit, so we're trying to backpedal because I did get a little too ahead of myself.
I'm kind of curious, this is going to sound silly, but since you have the experience with the quarter horses, you know, I wonder if they would let you bring one or both to the Indiana State Fair and you can ride around, and that way you don't have to spend so much time walking in heels all day at the State Fair.
As much as I would love that, my horse Harvey, he's a little bit of a princess. He would probably freak out over all of the State Fair. So as much as I'd love that, he probably wouldn't have it.
Well, not only do you have the experience showing horses across the state and across the Midwest, you also are a 10-year 4-H member. Is that right?
Yeah, I grew up as a Hamilton County 4-H'er, surprisingly enough, and for 9 years at Hamilton County because that's where my mom and my grandmother did county fair. So that's where I started.
I will put you on the spot with this particular question. Of all the food items at the Indiana State Fair, what would you say is your favorite?
Well, I will have to say there was a Puerto Rican food truck that had been there past years. They weren't there last year, unfortunately, but hopefully they will be there this year. And I love their arroz con gandules. That was definitely my favorite, and I hope to see them back this year.
I know arroz is a rice, correct?
Yes, that is rice.
Rice. And I missed the last part of that as well.
No, you're perfectly fine. It's called gandules, and it's pigeon peas.
Pigeon peas. Oh, okay.
Yes.
But they weren't there last year, but hopefully we can put in a call and find out who the vendor was and get them there for this year so we can get you stocked
with them. I sure hope so, because let me tell you, I will be there every day.
Once again, Pilar Bravo. She is Miss Indiana State Fair 2025. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Congratulations on being crowned Miss Indiana State Fair 2025, and we'll look forward to seeing you later this summer at the Indiana State Fair, Pilar.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. I truly appreciate it.
And with that, it's time to put a big old bow on this week's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. If you missed any part of today's show, download the podcast version at HoosierAgToday.com. From our award-winning team of Eric Pfeiffer, Andy Eubank, and Hoosier Ag Today Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.